Good morning, everyone. Just want to point out all the co-authors on this talk, graduate students, undergraduate students, and collaborators as well. Okay, so we know that agriculture is responsible for over half of the input of reactive N to terrestrial systems, but still improving nitrogen availability in individual agricultural fields, adding additional N remains one of the most common management techniques to improve crop yields. And part of this issue is because our typical nitrogen use efficiencies are often very low, less than 50% or more. And we want to try to manage our systems if we could increase nitrogen use efficiency in our cropping systems. We could have lower inputs and also lower loss potentially to and off-system impacts of that excess nitrogen. So we want to increase the match between the available nitrogen supply, particularly through the processes of mineralization and nitrification, and increase that match between that and plant demand, and therefore improve our management of nitrogen turnover and loss in agriculture. And that goal is still rather elusive. So in our laboratory and research group, we've been focusing on the processes of nitrification and also nitrogen mineralization in terms of their impacts on plant available N, and also particularly nitrification leading to nitrogen loss from systems. So here's just, so I'll talk mostly about nitrification today, but also we do work on mineralization as well. So what controls these rates of nitrogen mineralization and nitrification in soil? We have the abiotic environmental parameters of temperature and moisture and aeration having an overriding impact. Next, a group of factors that look at substrate supply, things like the organic nitrogen pool, the substrate characteristics, carbon to nitrogen and complexity. Of course, fertilization in agricultural fields impacts both the inorganic nitrogen pool and their turnover, and then also the rates of ammonium production must be considered as well. And then a group of organism-related factors, the ammonia oxidizers, nitrite oxidizers for nitrification, and maybe the types of these organisms present. And for mineralization particularly, we're interested in extracellular enzymes responsible for depolymerization. We've been looking at a complete randomized block design experiment. This one is in Utah, and it's a strongly calcareous soil. It has four treatments, control with no additional nitrogen, ammonium sulfate at two levels, 100 and 200 kilograms N per hectare per year, and some nitrogen source of composted steer manure at 200 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. And this is in northern Utah. Similar experiment is ongoing in Georgia, and I'm not going to talk about any of the results from that today, but if you continue to be interested, see Lisa Woodruff's talk. It's number 1626 tomorrow. So this experiment is repeated in Georgia as well. So when we're thinking about nitrification, we often look at the ammonia oxidizers based on the ammonia monooxygenase A subunit gene copy number. And this is some work of the graduate student Yang, Uyang, who has a poster tomorrow. And comparing both in 2011 the archaeal ammonia oxidizers versus the bacterial ammonia oxidizers. And let's see. So here's the archaeal, and then in the lighter color are the bacterial ammonia oxidizing AMOA gene copy numbers. and that's a log scale on these graphs. So you can see that in both years, the arterial ammonia oxidizers have higher copy numbers, and in 2011, there was no difference between the treatments. That was the first year of the experiment. By 2013, the ammonia oxidizing bacteria are affected by the treatment and with increases in the ammonia sulfate fertilized plots. So changes in ammonia oxidizing bacteria, but not in the archaea in terms of the nitrogen source treatments. When we looked at the communities of the different ammonia oxidizing archaea, all of them were in the nitrososfera group, and there were no shifts seen either with treatments or with the year sample, so that the different groups, the subgroups, all within the nitrososfera of the archaeal ammonia oxidizers, no significant differences. But there were differences in the bacterial AMOA groups, with almost all were nitrosospirus. There were a few nitrosomonas groups that were shown, but we saw differences both between the years, so there's a change in the ammonia oxidizing bacterial community structure with year and also with treatment. But what's happening in terms of the process? In August 2011, in the first year, we did see changes. These are nitrification potential rates at 1 millimolar ammonium concentrations, and we saw that the ammonium sulfate treatments resulted in increased nitrification potentials, both in 2011 and in 2013. By 2013, the compost nitrogen treatment also was increased versus the control. But who's doing the nitrification in these systems? We've used two different techniques that either inhibit the bacterial members of the ammonia oxidizer community, and one technique, and this is called a recovery of nitrification potential. You inhibit both the archaea and the bacteria with acetylene, and then you allow the archaeal ammonia oxidizers to recover, but you inhibit the recovery of the bacterial ammonia oxidizers using a protein synthesis inhibitor, spectinomycin. So with this technique is shown here, the dark blue bar is the recovered nitrification potential that's due to the archaea, and the light blue by difference is the amount of the recovered activity that would be due to the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. So even though the archaea are more than 100 times, in most cases about 100 times more prevalent in terms of their numbers of gene copies, in terms of activity, less than 50% of the activity appears to be due to the archaeal ammonia oxidizers. So, and as you are treating with ammonium sulfate fertilizers, even a higher percent here of the activity is due to the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, even though they are presumably lower in numbers. And with an additional technique, this is a technique where octene is used. It's related to acetylene, but a higher carbon number. And it inhibits the ammonia oxidizing bacteria activity, but not the archaeal activity. So this is another way of looking at the difference between the archaea and the bacterial ammonia oxidizers. What you can see here is that The controls have both the lowest total nitrification potentials and about 71% of the activity is due to bacteria by this technique, by the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. And in the ammonium sulfate treated fields, the activity is even more, about 88% of the activity is due to the ammonia oxidizing bacteria and is inhibited by the use of octene in the presence of the activity. So these are nitrification potentials. So what are these? We've seen these potential effects of fertilizer use changing the difference in community, but what are these potential effects of the difference? One of the things that we've seen, using again that differential inhibition technique, is that the kinetics of the ammonia oxidizing process are different whether or not it's occurring through the action of bacteria versus archaea. So in this sorry, I guess that trackpad has its own mind. I'm trying to use the arrow on the pad. All right, I'll just say on the one slide you can see the total kinetic curves of the bacteria and the archaea, and then with the bacteria inhibited, and note that there's about a 10x change in the scale on the rate and that size. So only a very small amount of the activity is due to the ammonia oxidizing archaea, and that's the percent increases as you go to the lower values of the concentration of ammonium, and you can see that the archaea are inhibited also by high levels of ammonium in the system. Another point I just want to make is that these organisms, the archaea, like the Nitrosospira versus the Nitrosospira multiformis, which are one of the most common groups of the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, they have a very different size. So I would like to point out that while we count the AMOA copy numbers in the genomes of these organisms and in the soil using a real-time PCR technique, we're not actually looking at the size or the amount of the enzyme that is in their membrane structures. Okay, so maybe the size is what matters. And just getting back to the genomes as well, I want to say that just there are differences in these groups within the Nitrosospira groups. We saw in terms of an interesting process is the potential for nitrifier denitrification and nitrous oxide production. So the nitric oxide reductase metabolic modules found in the Nitrosomonas. In some of the Nitrosospira, like Nitrosospira multiformis, but not in some of the other Nitrosospiras like Briensis or related Nitrosospiras. And also these genes, the metabolic module, is not found in the ammonia oxidizing archaea. Okay, so basically...
Main point,
yeah. Okay, so the ammonia oxidizing bacterial numbers increased with the fertilizer, no difference, no impact on the archaeal numbers. The AOA processing, the archaeal processing responsible for a small but variable fraction, higher proportion in the low nitrogen treatments and non-fertilized soils. The ongoing kinetic experiments suggest the AOB are responsive, while the AOA are inhibited by higher ammonium levels. And that the metabolic capacity for nitrous oxide differs between these two groups as well. And we can use the genomes to look for functional targets. And I'll just leave this up.
Okay. Thank you.